Good morning, everybody. This is the last in the series. We're actually stopping here at Proverbs 9 because you'll notice at chapter 10, verse 1, it says the Proverbs of Solomon, and after that you get these two-line Proverbs for most of the rest of the book. And so we've been trying to cover just this first nine chapters, which is still poetic, but it tells more of a story, and each time we're faced with a choice. So let's read together from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, and she calls from the highest places in the town. You who are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside your simpleness, and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer wins abuse. Whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you. The wise, when rebuked, will love you. Give instruction to the wise, and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will gain in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The foolish woman is loud. She is ignorant and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, you who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But they do not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. This is God's Word. Let's pray together. As we come here, we just pray that each of us is able to center our hearts and minds on you, your presence here with us through the Holy Spirit, the way you've bound us together as a family in Christ, with you as our Father, Christ as our brother, and each one here, our brother and sister in Him. God, we're thankful for this word, and as we explore what you have to say to us, help us have open ears as we sing songs that are on this topic or that are that lift you up in praise. God, may we truly mean that and be genuine, sincere in our worship. May we show respect and honor to one another as we gather around your table. We pray that we would be united further and further into one body, just as you are one. God, would you bless this worship service to be enriching for each person here, that we might walk this week in your wisdom. And this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. John. So throughout this series, we've seen in these first nine chapters a father sitting down with his son and telling him, here's how life's going to go. You're going to have choices all along the way. And he's offering him godly choices and saying over and over, keep your father's teaching, keep your mother's instruction. It's going to be so valuable for you if you will go this direction rather than the direction the world is going to pull you. all along the way. And last week in chapter 8, we saw the spotlight went off the Father, and wisdom herself spoke through that whole chapter directly to us. She even calls us her children at that point. Well, in this final chapter, she makes an appearance again, and so does her counterpart, the antagonist of the story, which is sometimes called Lady Folly. And so as you look at this chapter, it's bookended by these two women making their own invitations. So I, along with many commentators, have called them Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And they both have an invitation, you see, in the first six verses and in the last six verses of the chapter. And there's a lot of symmetry in the, what the two have to say, but also some differences. So we want to look at, what is this invitation? What's being offered? In the first six verses again, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls, and she calls from the highest places in the town, "You who are simple, turn in here." To those without sense, she says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside simpleness and live, and walk in the way of insight." So you have this wisdom represented as this very industrious woman who has built a house. How many of you women built your own house? You know, just to give us a concept of just how industrious, she's built her house. She hewed the pillars by hand. I don't know anything about that. I didn't build my house either. But then, after that, it says how meticulously she prepared this feast that she's going to offer. Slaughtered her animals, mixed her own wine, and has set the table. And so you just see this great amount of sacrifice and care and love that's gone into what's been prepared. And then she calls from the high places in town and says, "You who are simple, turn in here." And to those without sense, she says, and her invitation is, "Come and eat, drink. There's this bread that I've made, this wine that I've mixed, and I'm offering it freely to you." And in the offering, she says, "Lay aside the simplicity or immaturity." So to accept the invitation, it's a free invitation, but there is something to be left behind. But it's immaturity, simpleness. And we've seen throughout that many times it's just the person that's drifting along, not necessarily being wicked, but just drifting along, paying not much attention. And she says, that you'll have to leave at the door, but it's for your own good. Come inside, eat the feast that I have for you, which would be wisdom and knowledge and grace and all of these wonderful things. And she says, when you do that, when you lay aside the simpleness, you live. Lay that aside and live. Not just survive, but live the abundant life. Thrive. That's what she's offering by walking in the way of insight. Notice the differences, but also the similarities in what Lady Folly offers. The foolish woman is loud. I'm in verse 13. The foolish woman is loud. She is ignorant and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the high places of the town, calling to those who pass by, "You, to those who pass by who are going straight on their way, you who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But they do not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So rather than this wise and industrious woman who we see in wisdom, Lady Folly is loud and ignorant. She doesn't even know. She has no wisdom herself. And is just the polar opposite of that. She, you know, there's nothing about how she's prepared a feast. There's nothing about her building her house. There's nothing about preparing a table of any kind. She just sits at the door. So you see, she's even represented, I think, as being lazy and complacent. In a sense, she's drifting along. But she calls out, see, they both call from the high places of the town, which means that they're calling out to everyone so that everyone can hear. Both of these choices are available to every person. Okay? And we're all going to hear the voice of wisdom, and we're also going to hear the voice of folly or foolishness. And what do they both say? What they say is almost identical. You who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says. So the invitation is to those who are just walking through life. But what she offers is so different. She says, stolen water is sweet. Bread that's eaten in secret is pleasant. You see, she hasn't prepared the meal. She hasn't bought the meal. She's stolen the meal. It costs her nothing to provide this, whatever the offering is. And she says, come and partake of my sin because I've stolen this. And you can take part in it. You can have some. It goes back to the very beginning in Proverbs 1, where the father told the son, if sinners entice you, don't go that way. They're going to say, hey, let's ambush people and we'll take their money and we'll have a common purse and we'll split it among us. See, Lady Folly here is saying the same thing. Stolen water is sweet. Come and eat with me in secret. Okay, it's clear this is a shameful place to be. And so it's to be done in secret. So what is she really offering? Wisdom offers this beautiful feast, wide open. Folly, basically what she offers is just the sense that I'm getting away with something. As I meditated on this, I realized that one of the main differences between the two ladies and therefore the two paths or the two houses that we're being invited into. One is very valuable, but that also means it's going to cost me to live this way. I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to make preparations. I'm willing to offer something actually good and life-giving to other people as I'm walking in the way of wisdom. On the other hand, as I'm walking in the way of folly, I become like her, which is I'm willing to just take and take and take from everybody around me, and I don't care what the cost is to other people. I hope you see what I'm saying, that at least part of what's at the heart of these invitations is you can live a life that costs you and you need to lay down your life in order to bless other people, Or you can live a life that is so consumptive and self-serving. And guess who pays the price? Everybody else around you. As you think about people who have really, or you yourself at times, or maybe even now, you think, when I make very self-centered decisions, when I'm just walking in sin and just living there, I'm choosing this way of foolishness, everybody else around me is paying the price. Some of you have people in your family like that, or people in your lives, or we can be that way sometimes. Do you see that though? The willingness to pay the price. Who pays the price for the meal? Whereas wisdom said, if you will come, lay aside the simpleness and live, Lady Folly's invitation only leads to death. It says, they do not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, or the grave. That's the Hebrew word for the place of the dead. And so you see this correspondence, even in the word, in verse 13, the foolish woman is ignorant, and she knows nothing. And here at the end, those who go into her house, they know nothing. They don't know what they're getting into. They don't understand the dire consequences. This is life and death stuff of what's being offered. So I think for everything that we've seen in the first 9 chapters, this is just the clearest. This is the clarion call. What wisdom is offering, what folly is offering, and where they lead. Now, those are the bookends, as I said, of the chapter. Lady Wisdom offers insight, which leads to life. Lady Folly only offers ignorance, and it leads to death. Now, in the middle, verses 7 to 12, in a way, this sounds much like previous chapters where the father is speaking. It sounds more like parental advice being given to this young man again. And yet, in verse 11, it reads, "For by me your days will be multiplied," which suggests this is Lady Wisdom continuing to speak. Now, of course, all this is done through the Father. He's teaching all of these things. But I just wanted you to notice that. Now, here's what the middle part is about. The scoffer or the wise. Okay, it's the same choice between the two. Let's read it again. "Whoever corrects a scoffer wins abuse. Whoever rebukes the wicked gets hurt. A scoffer who is rebuked will only hate you." See, the scoffer is a person who hates correction. They will not take criticism at all or listen to anybody else's opinion. And this is who, throughout these chapters, has been called the fool. The fool thinks they know everything. The fool is not stupid, they're a know-it-all. Okay? But it changes in the middle of verse 8. "The wise, when rebuked, will love you. So give instruction to the wise, and they will become wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will gain in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life." And so there's that contrast again between the scoffer and the wise. But what identifies the wise person here is that they love instruction. They don't mind being rebuked because they realize, I'm not always right. And if somebody else has a perspective, somebody else has insight, someone else has godly wisdom, yeah, I want it. Why would I say, if you're hungry, why refuse bread? If you know that you have made a mess of your life, or that when you walk in selfish ways, it makes a mess of your life. Why wouldn't you take an offer of true godly wisdom now? And if you start walking that way, you just get wiser and wiser and wiser as you path. You see? So that's the difference. The scoffer hates correction. The wise loves instruction. But then verse 12 really tells us, just lay it online. Here's the bottom line. If you're wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Now, clearly our sin or our selflessness can affect other people. But what's being said here is that you're the one who's going to bear the consequence of whatever choice you make, ultimately. I'm not responsible for Michael. Michael's not responsible for me. I'm not responsible for Nancy. Nancy's not responsible for me. Before God, we're each responsible for ourselves. I can't change anybody else. It's hard enough for me to change myself, right? I got to rely on somebody else even to do that. But this is what's being said. Realize that the choice you make is going to have life and death consequences for you. And you're not getting away with something by eating the stolen bread and water. You're not getting away with anything because the consequences are there, and you will bear it if you scoff at the wisdom that's offered to you. Wow, so we're very clearly faced with this choice between insight or ignorance. I want to share some other proverbs from the middle part of the book on this same theme. Chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice." That one's pretty clear. That's what I've been saying already. 13:10 says, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is with those who take advice." So that adds a little something by giving us the word pride. Say, wow, that's at the heart of what's going on. For someone who chooses foolishness or selfishness, there's a pride there which leads to strife in all their relationships. Chapter 17, verse 24, "The discerning person looks to wisdom, but the eyes of a fool to the ends of the earth." Now, one of the things about Proverbs is, these two-line Proverbs, is they can be sort of puzzling, and that's by design. They're meant for you to have to sort of work it out, think it through. I think what's being said, with the eyes of the fool looking to the ends of the earth, is, you know, you imagine somebody that's going around always looking for the fix to whatever their problem is and never finding it, and they just keep looking and keep looking, and it's almost aimless, directionless, it doesn't satisfy, there's no progress really being made. And I see that with the fool, the eyes of the fool just continually looking in the wrong direction for wisdom to live life. But the discerning person will look to God's own wisdom. Because as chapter 21, verse 30 says, "No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord." See, God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is the king of the universe and everything. And so, whatever other message you might get, let's call it, as Paul does, the wisdom of this world, it's worthless. It's not actually true. In this case, I think the word wisdom is talking about false wisdom, false understanding, false counsel. That's not going to get you anywhere. And so you see the futility hopefully, as this builds, that now the fool, because they refuse to listen to advice, because they're prideful, they're in a constant search that's never satisfied, and end up standing opposed to God. And guess what? That's not a position you want to be in. So I want insight, not ignorance, and I'm sure you do too. Now the question is, how do I get this insight? How do I eat the bread and drink the wine that wisdom is offering to me? Because I don't want to go off in a closet or in a hidden place and have secret bread and have stolen water. I see that that's without value, and it only leads to death for me and everyone around me. I want this insight. I want to take part of this great feast. Well, I go back again, as I've done in every sermon in this series, to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And look what he has to say in chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, is he talking about just every little whim that I might come up with, ask for that, and poof, magically it's going to happen? No. It's just like James says in chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God for that wisdom. He gives generously without finding fault. This is what we seek. We're seeking God's will, God's truth, God's feast. And if we ask for that, He will give it to us. If we seek after that, we'll find it. If we knock on that door is going to be open to us, because then our will is perfectly in line with the will of God, who is totally sovereign. He can open any door, and these doors will be open for you. Jesus goes on to prove that this is the case. And I remember the first time I read this to Livy and Max, they laughed at it, because it is supposed to be silly. Of course not. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? Of course not. You would never do that. So if you, who are evil, sinful, fallen, selfish, even you know how to give a good gift to someone else, to one of your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God wants you to have all these good things, not the refuse that the world offers that's stolen and valueless and ultimately worthless. There's no nutrition there. It leads to death. But to have this glorious feast that's been carefully prepared just for you, He offers His own wisdom in Jesus Christ, who Paul also calls the wisdom of God. And so as we seek after this insight, truly what must be done is to seek after Christ. If you want godly wisdom, you seek after Jesus. And so I invite you, and of course the Lord always invites His people, to ask and to seek and to knock. Ask Christ to come into your life. Seek after Christ and you'll find Him. He'll be given to you. That door will be opened. In Luke's account of this same teaching, he says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" God Himself will come and take residence within. It's just a matter of being open to it. It's a matter of listening and not being a know-it-all, but realizing, I need this. I need someone else. I need a Savior. I need a guide. I need a Master, and I'll find a perfect one in Jesus Christ. It's summarized here in verse 10, which I think is the other theme verse. It goes right along with chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's chapter 1, verse 7. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, again, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Let's pray together. God, what we see here is that You offer Yourself. You offer a knowledge and a relationship with You personally. And that's such an amazing invitation, that You are representing Yourself through this Lady Wisdom who prepares a great feast and pays such a price so that Your people and those who are simple and those who are wandering and those who are lost are invited into Your house, invited into Your kingdom, to have a place at the table, to feast on things that are truly sustaining and life-giving. And it all comes through this knowledge of the Holy One. And so, God, we want to know Jesus, because in knowing Him, we know You as well. In fact, He came here to reveal the heart of the Father to us. He came here to pay the price that we could not pay. He came here to build a house, to build a kingdom, to build a church. And He has gone to be at Your right hand to prepare a place for us, which will be eternal life. In all these things, God, we just want to know You better. And for that knowledge to give us true wisdom of how to walk in this world and lead us to life. God, for each person who's in here, we've all got our own walks. We've all got different places that we're going to be this afternoon. Different places we're going to be tomorrow. Different people to interact with. We just ask You to give us wisdom as we walk each step of the way. That we keep Christ in front of us. That we know Him truly. Not just in our minds, but with our whole being, to know Jesus. This is our prayer in His name. Amen.